Barry's, how do you feel being not only the first returning guest, but also the first guest on the rebooted Who's There with Hotline Callers? What's it like? What honour is it?
I feel incredibly honoured. I feel like I'm at the Oscars right now, and you're going to start singing I'm Just Ken, and Crispy's going to be there as Shooty, you know?
Yeah.
Jiving around. I'm just going to be there as Margot Robbie, proudly clapping along as I watch you two in your element, in your prime for this podcast. I don't know where that analogy came from. I was just like, I need a quick analogy for the Oscars.
I'm more concerned saying that we're going to be the one, you're going to watch us. No, we're giving everything to you. We're sitting and watching you. Mm. We need to make this clear. You're carrying the whole thing today. You realise that,
okay,
right?
Okay, all right. I didn't know the pressure was on me. I didn't know I'd been elected honorary president of Who's There.
It's a new standard. You're the first returning guest, therefore you know what to expect, and we can just kick our feet up and relax, can't we, Crispy?
It's true.
Yeah, that's what we're doing today. That's why we bring guests on.
Oh, finally, the podcast can be good, guys. Troy's face!
Roll the intro before it gets any more damning.
Hello and welcome back to Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. My name is Crispy, his name is Troy, and we have someone else in the call, but we'll get to them in just a second. And we are the hotline that accepts your calls from anywhere in time and space. And today we are sponsored by Thary's VPN. Can you believe it, Troy? Thary's VPN.
Thary's, you can watch your Thary's videos in any country, in any language. There's actually dubs of them. They'll be like Spanish, French.
Thary's videos everywhere. That's a fate worse than death.
I've got Thary's Plus. I've got the entire Thary's catalogue at home.
Don't talk to me about charging for Plus subscriptions. I got my Disney Plus charge for the year this year, and my bank balance is destroyed. I didn't realise I was on the premium membership, and everything hurts.
Well, speaking of premium, we have a premium guest in the house today, and if it wasn't obvious, the one, the only Thary's is here. How are you, sir?
Hello. I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing good. I've watched that trailer about 5 million times, and feeling good. I enjoyed it. Most people seem to think it was good, which was refreshing. Because every time anything new Doctor Who happens, you have a few people who, like, you'll go onto Twitter and you go, actually, I thought it was a bit terrible. Actually, I hated this. So it was quite nice to not really see much of that. There was a bit, but most people I saw, pretty positive, which was nice.
That's cool.
Because I enjoyed it. It was a good trailer. And I've just been vibing ever since.
Vibing? Absolutely vibing? I'm glad. I'm glad you were vibing, and I'm glad that the trailer was a vibe as well. Troy, how are you, sir? I didn't even realize you were in the chat today. I thought I was just having a chat with Thary's.
The chat? I'm in the call, thank you very much. I ain't subdued
you
to text. How dare
on,
you?
On Riverside, you are on the smallest possible window for me. So you are a teeny tiny little Troy.
Well, that's down to you shrinking
Troy.
Or making other windows bigger, because I've already adjusted for that. So clearly, Crispy has other priorities. Disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
Although it should be a good point to mention, speaking of chat, that remember, folks, next week we'll be live Sunday night, so come hang out for the March News Roundup. It's going to have Stephen Moffat in the thumbnail, so you can guess what we'll be talking about there. Just mention that now, because we always forget
Stephen
to announce
Moffat
these
on the podcast then.
Yeah,
for a second,
we've actually got the exclusive.
Stephen Moffat is coming on Who's
There. He's actually behind you now, Thary's.
Oh my god. I was like, that's a bit of a guest upgrade. You go from Thary's to Stephen Moffat. I mean, the levels would be a bit.
It'd be a downgrade. It'd be a downgrade.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
We don't have a Moffat ramp on the TARDIS. We have a Thary's ramp.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, we should talk about that. So, congrats. We haven't spoken since. Congrats about it. Do you want to tell
episode
the people
number? Hang on. I'm going on a backtrack here. I'm going to look at what episode number it was that we had Thary's on.
That one.
Hot takes.
Was
two,
the 60th
three.
Out?
No.
I don't think it was.
It's been a while.
Fishing.
Yeah, that was mad.
Number 67, and you had KFC chicken in the thumbnail, Crispy.
Yeah. What episode are we on now?
This is 101.
Wow.
So
this is like just about like just under 40 episodes on, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, that's kind of mad.
It is.
So Yeah, actually, it's funny you should mention the REM thing, because obviously, I don't know whether you can see it very well, you can't probably make it out very well, but that picture up there, the top one, near my screwdrivers, is the signed picture that Ruth Madley signed, where she wrote Fairies REM on it. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, so... Yeah, I mean, the story of it's kind of mad. I mean, like, so, obviously, for those of you who, like, don't know, obviously, I got very lucky. The Welsh Film and TV Society, something like that, were doing, the Royal Television Society were doing a early screening 2 days in advance for The Star Beast. And it was literally, like, a first-come, first-served thing. I saw it on Twitter immediately, like, put in all my details and sent an email through and got a ticket. And my mum got a ticket as well. So we went together to this little theatre, watched the episode. Russell and... was it Julie? No, I think about Jane Tranter.
Jane Tranter,
Russell G.
Yeah,
Davis. And a couple of people who'd worked on the show, like runners and stuff like that, we were talking, and then after that, there was a little after party with drinks. Stefan Powell was there as well, Doctor Who Unleashed. And I managed to get up to Russell, and he said, oh, you're Therese, nice to meet you. Which is already, I was buzzing with that.
That's mental, mate.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
I was already just like, what? And he said, oh, I heard what you said about, like, the idea of the TARDIS having a ramp. Obviously, some months before, I must have mentioned... in a video, the idea of, oh, you know, as a kid, I always thought it'd be cool if the TARDIS had a ramp, so that, because obviously it's hard to tell with certain surfaces whether wheelchairs will be able to get on them or not, because some of them can have, like, a lip into like, a building, for example, right? So he heard that, and it, like, made him think, and then comes to the giggle, and the ramp's there, obviously. I didn't know this at the time, but he sort of said, trust me, in the next few episodes, there's going to be something you really like. And, he basically said that the ramp was named after me for that reason, which was kind of mad.
That's amazing.
And, when I met Ruth then at London Comic Con, she said, yeah, it's named it. And we actually had a little hug over it, which was nice. So yeah, that's a little heartwarming story.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Yeah, because there was a video of Ruth, wasn't it? Was it the behind the scenes video on YouTube? I don't think it was. Yeah, and she mentioned about you know, how it was for a fan that, like, it was a suggestion from a fan about the
ramp.
Have
the
fan. Say his name.
No, careful. If you say his name three times, he appears. He appears in your
bathroom. Yeah, no.
Oh, all right. So Doctor Who's not the only trailer you saw this weekend, Crispy, huh?
That's actually how I got here. You said my name three times.
Wait, so
if we say it three times again, can we get rid of you?
Do you want me to do a bit where I, like, leave?
Stay with us, Therese.
We need you. We've got lots to talk about. But thank you. That was such a beautiful, heartwarming story.
I don't think I've told the whole story I've told most of it in depth. But the bit about Ruth particularly, I haven't spoken about really. So you've got a bit of an exclusive there. So
yeah.
There you go.
That's brilliant.
Well,
thank you. It's actually genuinely awesome. And thank you for making our beautiful show even better.
Thank you very much.
You're a bloody legend. And we love having you. And we love having you on. And what a week to have you on. Hey, Troy, what's been happening in Doctor Who land?
Not much, actually. It's been quite quiet this week.
Yeah, it's been real quiet.
Yeah.
There's nothing to talk about. Gosh.
We were going
to
have an episode for context purely about the whole release date move changing thing.
Correct.
Because that was pretty big. And then they went, oh, by the way, trailer's coming. And it was like, oh, so shifting priority, I guess. But there's a lot to talk about. I mean, we'll save a lot of the release date talk for, again, the news episode next week. We'll slip that in with Moffat. We'll cover two birds, one stone. But... Just can we get your quick thoughts, Therese? What do you think about the release date shift?
Okay, the release date shift. Okay, so here's the thing. Obviously, it's difficult with being a Doctor Who fan, right? Because whenever you talk about something like this, either I find on Doctor Who, like, the community, it's either the best thing in the world or everyone despises it. And I was probably closer to the negative end, and I still sort of am, but I'm not like... BBC, you've ruined my Doctor Who, throwing, like, eggs at Russell T Davis's window, saying, like, why have you moved it to midnight? It's more just to be honest, my dislike for it is entirely selfish reasons, I'll be real with you. It's mainly just because, like, from a YouTube perspective as a UK person. Obviously, Crispy, it can be completely different for you.
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of inconvenient because it's happening at midnight. There's two episodes, which means it's not going to end till 2 a.m. Who's going to watch a video post 2 a.m., 3 a.m.? Nobody's doing that. You would, yes, but for like the UK people, they're all asleep in bed. They're not going to want that. So
that's a fair point, the YouTube perspective, yeah.
Yeah, this so it's entirely good. Selfish reasons, to be honest with you. I'll be real. I mean, there is an element, too, of, like, I guess just fragmentation in terms of, like, when people are going to watch it. Like, that, I think there is something to be said for that community aspect of everyone gets on social media and talks about it at the same time, and there's kind of that communal aspect to it. And now, obviously, people are going to be watching it all at different times. You're going to have people watch it at midnight, you'll have people watch it during the day, and then again at BBC One time. So there are drawbacks to it. However, I think given how much exposure Disney is giving Doctor Who, as I'm sure we'll cover with the trailer and stuff, I think, like, it's probably worth it in the long run.
The end's just
even
about
though
the means,
personally,
yeah.
Even though personally I'm not big on it, but again, it's mostly for my own reasons than anything else.
No, that's fair. It's interesting hearing another, like, YouTuber, WhoTuber, I should say, is our official job title, Tharys.
It is, it is. I put that on my, like, LinkedIn.
No. Oh, that's good, that's good.
I didn't, actually. I haven't done that.
I will now. Not even joking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it is. But for purely selfish reasons, I'm excited for that because...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, Troy and I will get into it next week, but, like,
yeah.
I've never had Doctor Who on a Saturday in my life, ever.
That is pretty mad.
Ever.
That's the funny thing is, despite me being in the UK and Crispy being in a different country, you'd expect one to be far more positive than the other. I think we're both going to be positive about this. I've talked about it a bit on my own channel, but like, I'm just as eager to get a heads up. I'm not particularly annoyed about it. Is it a bit of a hassle? Yeah, but I actually think it'll work better in the long run. I'm with you, Tharys. I think the ends justify the means here. But
yeah, I think that's where I've come to. Like, I wasn't overly keen at first, but it is the kind of thing of like... If we want Doctor Who to be the big international brand, we sort of have to make some trade-offs at some stage.
Yeah.
And although I will say, I feel like for Australians, I get You Big Happy the most. I think obviously for Australians, it's great. I do think not only for the UK, but the rest of Europe, it's a bit of an L because like you got like Germany and France who are now getting it at like 1 a.m., so theirs didn't end till like 3.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So like the premiere, because it's two episodes, wouldn't end till like 3 a.m. So it does seem to have benefited more a certain sector of the globe, which is mainly obviously Australia, but also like America. It seems very American, which is fine.
Yeah.
I get it. Mm. But I do think for Europe, it's a bit of a shame. Not just the UK, but just most of Europe. I think it's a bit of a shame for them, but... We'll see how it goes.
We will see how it goes.
If it doesn't work, like, they can always change it. If they think, oh, actually, this isn't quite getting the result we want, tweak it about, you know? So that's my thoughts on it.
No, well, thank you. Thank you.
We can get into all of our thoughts about it next week. But now I think it's time that we have a caller because we're a little bit late in using our first caller, Crispy, I think. So let's get Tharys in on our new feature. So what we've done, in case you haven't heard, but I know you listen to every episode because obviously you're our biggest fan. There you go. Good. That was good. Didn't have to pay him to say that either. He just picked it up. Very good stuff.
No, we didn't have to pay him because we're sponsored by Tharys VPN today.
Shut up. So we have got some callers in with their thoughts on the trailer and we'll use that to guide our discussion. I'm expecting at least one of these to be talking about David Tennant. So we're going to save our comments on that until we get to that point. So Crispy, who's calling in first?
Oh, look, we got lots in the bank. Who we gonna ask today? It's Big Lock. Let's listen
to
them. Hello, Big Lock. I haven't listened to any of these calls as well. This was sent in an hour ago, so it's fresh in the inbox. Here we go. Hello, Big Lock.
Hi, boys. It's Big Lock here. Thoughts on the new trailer? It feels very exciting. Obviously, it's building up the hype for May 11th. My only issue, which is quite picky, is that it's very Disney-fied. That like back in the day, old school BBC trailers. Prefer Doctor Who a bit more grounded. You know, I like the costumes. Saying that, I think it's a good change that will come. I'm just not used to it yet. and I like the David Bowie track in the background. But I'm very excited, and yeah, thank you.
Interesting.
Okay. That was a very balanced perspective. That was very
nice. You don't really get that in the Doctor Who community, do you?
No. Blimey. Gosh, stay off Twitter.
That was good. Yeah.
I will say, that reminds me of, I think it was the top comment when I last looked. I don't know if it still is now, but there was a comment on the Disney Plus trailer that said, hey, maybe Doctor Who with a Star Wars budget won't be so bad after all. And I was like, yeah. It's looking good.
Yeah, it was weird. I will say, like, obviously the 60th was a bit of a bump again, but I think you can tell that the proper Disney involvement has started with this. Because immediately you get that all CG shot of the TARDIS careening towards the unit tower and sliding in like perfectly. And you're like, yeah, some money's been spent on this, isn't it? You can tell, you know? You can tell that it's just at a different level to where it was even for the 60th. Because that was kind of... So the 60th is weird in hindsight, isn't it? Because it's kind of in the middle. It's not quite Disney era yet, but it sort of is. But it also sort of released like normal time for like us. So it's a bit of a weird in between when you think about it.
I think they started filming the 60th before the Disney deal was in place.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. You're probably better with news.
No, you're
and stuff,
definitely
but I swear,
right. I think it's just a case of they like helped polishing it, I think, towards the end.
Yeah, most
but, like,
definitely.
It was mostly.
I'm pretty sure part of the Disney deal, like, they took them to set of the 60th and saw all the cool stuff they were doing. They're like, all right,
and it would also explain why Rachel Talalay, who directed the Starbeast, said she had no idea about that intro scene of Fawzi and Donna explaining the background. It would explain because she'd be like, mate, I rapped on this ages ago and suddenly there's a new scene.
That was a Disney request, like
that
the
was.
Church on Ruby Ridge. Oh, there was it?
The 14 and Donna recap at Starbeast was a Disney request, as well as the policeman scene in Church on Ruby Road. They're the only two Disney requests I've heard of.
I was there for that scene being filmed. The policeman scene.
Which one?
The policeman scene. The snowman.
I was there. Damn cool.
I remember the big snowman being set up, and it was. I can tell you some fun trivia because when I was on the set. We were having fun with, because you had like a bunch of drunk people passing by because it was a Saturday night, you know, everyone was coming
out
the pubs and the clubs, etc. And we were having this fun game of telling them the wrong thing of what it actually was filming.
No.
And the one that actually really caught on was we told them it was the John Lewis advert. The John Lewis Christmas ad. For the Crispy might be looking at me a bit oddly. That's like a big shopping retailer in the UK who are known for their like prestige Christmas ads, right? So it kind of made sense as a lie because you're like, there's a big snowman falling on a woman. And they were more excited for the idea of it being a John Lewis advert than they were for it being Doctor Who. Like, the people we told who were honest about it were like, oh, Doctor Who, cool. John Lewis advert, oh my God.
You must have got at least one Doctor Who I haven't watched since David Tennant was in it. And then you could have gone,
Yeah. He's back, actually.
He's actually on right now.
And he's in season one. But anyway, I also think it's funny just purely on the comments about changes being used in the trailer, just purely as an anecdote, because I don't know if you saw me post yesterday, but I was in London for the weekend. I went to see Matt Smith in a play on stage called Enemy of the People, which was fantastic, by the way. I mean, the dude... They have the second half of the play, without spoiling it too much. I don't know if there's any way you'll be able to watch it afterwards. There might not be, but they like have a town hall segment and they talk to the audience and like get people to like take part in the play, which by the way was hilarious because a couple of people they asked did not realise it was part of the play, and as they were speaking were like, I'm really enjoying this play, this is really good, and they were looking at them like, can you just play along please? But at one point in the first half they all sing Changes together by David Bowie as like a band. I'm seeing it the day after the trailer's come out, so I'm sat here like thinking something weird's going on here. I was baffled.
He's entered the Matrix. Man's taking the pill.
It's a good song, so I appreciate the use of it, you know?
It felt very fitting, didn't it? Not only obviously time and all of that sort of stuff, but also the use of the word changes, I think, felt very kind of... Felt very significant for a new era, didn't it? It reminds me of, you know, when Series 11 used that glorious song? And it has the lyric, I feel glorious, glorious, got a chance to start again. And then you have this one, changes. So I'm thinking there's like some symmetry there in terms of era launching trailer. Let's get a song that kind of evokes that vibe of change. See? English literacy B? That's
I was going to say, it's like George Lucas said, it's like poetry, they rhyme, you know?
Yeah, no.
It is, yeah.
So yeah, what was the other thing that was said by the caller? I was something else that they said. Oh, the Disney-fied
thing.
Oh,
they said it's Disney-fied, yeah.
Disney-fied, yeah. That was an interesting point. I mean, I did see, I don't know whether you saw, on the Instagram, the replies to the trailer, the Avengers account replied saying, loving the architecture. Reference to the
unit. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, really? Yeah, the official Marvel Avengers account commented. That's so funny.
They replied being like, love the architecture. On it being Disney-fied, though, I don't know. I think it definitely feels bigger. And I definitely think you can look at the two side by side and view it as like, you know, more contemporary in that sense, closer to what Disney Plus is, but it still feels like its own thing to me. You know, I don't know many other. I don't know many Disney shows that would have like a Bridgerton gag. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I just don't know whether that.
For a
would
second,
happen.
I had to double take and be like, "Wait, who's the deal with? Is it with? It's not with Netflix, is it?" I was like,
"No,
exactly." Like, yeah, like so. I think it still has its own identity. I do get it though, because it does look. I get what people are saying, because like you look at that big Avengers tower, you look at the big budget, and you go, "I see what you're doing here.
Making my
Doctor Who like a Disneyland attraction. I see what you're doing." But no, I think I don't know what that was. I felt like an American. I don't know, but yeah, I think it's good that it looks on the level, because that's something that Doctor Who has always struggled with, even when they tried it with, obviously, you know, I think a lot of the Chibnall era looks great, but you can see they just don't quite have the funds to get it quite where they want it to be.
Yeah, this is,
you know, they
this
want
is the
it
biggest,
to be.
Most definitely. Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
and, like,
it's
it
interesting.
Feels comparable now, which is interesting.
Chibnall's era got the cinematography nailed down, but now the actual visual effects will be nailed down with...
Yeah, now everything. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, just especially with the massive like cash injection that Doctor Who has. And what has me slightly worried, not worried, but just intrigued, was part of like what I thought Russell's brilliance was in the for his first four series was how good his stories were, even though they had a shoestring budget. You know, he whipped out Midnight because they were like, we need something cheap. We need something. But now
he proceeds to write one of his best episodes.
Yeah, look, but now Russell has like, Russell's top dog, and he can pretty much do whatever he wants. So yeah. I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. I'm really intrigued to see what that looks like.
I can understand the fear of that to an extent, though, in the sense of, like, as Troy was saying, that limitation is what birthed arguably one of his best scripts.
Yeah.
And another one of his favourites is, like, Gridlock, which is fundamentally Alien Traffic Jam. Like, that's not... I can't imagine that was one of the more expensive episodes of Series 3, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I do understand the argument that if you give them too much, it's almost like a limitation breeds creativity thing, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
If you don't have any limitations, is that going to make it not feel as special? I don't know. There's a lot of arguments that are valid. So far, though, I'm pretty confident that it still feels like it's got its own quirk to it. It doesn't just feel like... Obviously, you know, nothing wrong with the Marvel stuff, but it doesn't really feel like that to me. It still has its own
flavor.
Like,
well
know?
Put.
Couldn't agree
well
more.
Put. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, should we take another caller?
We definitely should.
Let's do it.
Who do you want? Pick one out for me, please.
Come on, Farris, you pick one.
Okay, I'll pick one. Let's go with Grace.
Hello, Grace. Is this which Grace is this? Troy
Let's,
had a bit
I'm
of
not,
a.
We're not going there.
Had
I'm
a bit of an argument
there's
with
two
a Grace
Graces,
last week.
And I literally did a one-minute monologue.
I just picked a random name,
and then realized it was the wrong Grace. So I'm not making the same mistake again.
Hello, Grace. Hello.
Hi, boys. It's Grace, proud executive producer of the hit comment section bit Grace's Thoughts and Doctor Who podcast commentary. I literally just finished watching the trailer, and my thoughts are that I love how Ruby's family is going to be playing a role in this season. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Ooh, boy.
I can't believe I saw Carla out of her bed at one point. I was like, she's not going to be in her bed constantly asking for a cup of tea. What's happening?
She's done a Grandpa Joe, man. She's going to start, like, dancing around. <She's> like, the miracles happened. I agree with that. Completely in agreement. I've kind of missed the family being a focus, to be honest with you. Like, I've kind of missed that. And I think, as you were, like, saying with Carla was one of my favourite parts of Church. She's so fun. And I'm glad we're getting more of her and more of... no, just Cherry and Colour, isn't it? Cherry's the one who's asking for a tea, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Cherry. I got it wrong.
Yes, no, I got it wrong as well. But those two were great. Those two were great. And I'm glad that we're getting more of them. And I like the fact that they're on board with Ruby travelling, but they have to set some ground rules for it. I think that's a nice way of going about it. Because obviously with each family member, they kind of react to it differently. Obviously, Wilf, he's delighted. He's like, go see the stars, do whatever. But Francine, like Martha's mum, she was a bit more like, I don't know whether I trust you. And she had sort of, you know, Saxon whispering in her ear. And Jackie was a bit like, you kidnapped my daughter, what are you doing? With Carla, it seems a bit, with Carla, it seems a bit more like, I can see this is good for you, but I have my concerns, which I think is interesting.
I wonder if that scene of her saying, you know, can you keep my daughter safe? I wonder if that's like a doomsday type scene where, you know, Jackie's like, oh, how long are you going to really be traveling with him for? And it's a conversation that predates like something big happening. And like that actual conversation doesn't happen until, say, episode 7 or 8 of the season. That's what I think. I think it is a bit of like a finale, like she finds out sort of explaining it. And
the narrator goes, he did not in fact keep her safe.
Yes. And then David Tennant walks in and he goes, ah, don't worry about it, I'm here for a spin. Actually, really quickly, Barry's 14th Doctor spin-off, do you think it's happening, yes or no?
I don't, but I wouldn't mind it. It would depend on how it was done, I think. It would depend. I'd want Shooty to have his time first.
Maybe
give him 2 series first, and then if you wanted to, like, have a little crumb, a little tenanty crumb, you know, maybe...
My prediction, I've said this on social media now, like, is we're gonna see the 14th Doctor in this season, and it's going to set up his spin-off.
I don't think they'll do it in season one. I think... You need that fresh slate, right?
But I also just... I mean, David Tennant was in the trailer, man, and that was 10th Doctor David Tennant, of all things, as well.
My counterpoint to that would be the way I think that scene's going to play out, I definitely think that's a, you know, like 11th Hour type scene where you have the hologram projections of, like, all the Doctors being like, these are all the Doctors that we're aware of, and then Shooty comes along. My theory is... I don't know what this is like. It's popular. It probably is quite common. But you know the Regency England episode? You know Jonathan Groff?
Yes.
Playing one of the, theory is he's a time agent, which is what Jack was. And that's how he's aware of the Doctor. Because if you're a time agent, you travel through time, you're probably going to be aware of like the main person in the universe who travels through time.
Nah, he won't know.
I think he might. Because that's what all the holograms
he will.
Are.
Yeah,
I think he might. I think that might be what all the holograms are. And then obviously Shooty comes, foils some kind of plan that we don't know about. Yeah, that's my theory, but who knows?
It's just a theory.
I don't think it's anything more than that, David Tennant-wise, though. And I don't know whether I would want it to be at this stage.
I agree with you. Like I said this to Crispy right the way through, so I don't want anyone to ever mistake me as saying I want David here instead of Shooty. I don't. I very much want to see Shooty thrive. It was set up too nicely in the giggle.
That's not what you said, Troy. That's not what you said.
It is what I said. You know what you said. Be a liar, young
you know what you said. You said
Troy
I don't
said he
want.
Hates the 15th Doctor.
He says I want 14th Doctor only. I think Shooty doesn't deserve a first series. If anyone's going to get a whole series on Disney Plus, it's going to be David Tennant. That's a direct quote.
I was about
episode
to make a joke and go, I'm wearing a Shooty t-shirt, and then I looked down and I've realized I put the wrong t-shirt on. It's David Tennant.
Listen here. Oh my goodness. Need
Caught
I say anything
Caught
more?
Next caller. Mr. Scarlet, what have you got to say?
Hello, Mr. Scarlet.
Oh my God. I think that was a great trailer. Maybe the best series trailer for a series since series 5.
Ooh.
Just amazing. Loved it. just overall great. Loved the stuff that seen from the Doctor and Ruby. And now all this stuff we've seen from episode 2, The Devil's Chord, I'm really interested in that. And that's come to my question to you guys. Is there an episode of series 14 or season 1 that you're most excited for? And if so, why?
Oh,
Bro,
Mr.
Just
Scarlet,
down the hospital
mate.
On New Earth. Are you okay, mate? Mr. Scarlet, are you all right?
Mr. Scarlet, brother, you're allowed to do more than one take. You're all right. If you're not feeling too well, it's all right. It's all right, mate. Gosh, that's
so funny.
We all
understand the pain.
I hope you're okay, Mr. Scarlet.
Yeah, was the phone waiting on his call as well? I'm just checking.
I think so. I think that was the call.
I think that was the call.
The recording went very badly for him.
We all understand the pain of trying to record something and being ill, and you're just like, hey guys, I'm great, I promise.
You know what? We laugh, but Mr. Scott, you still got your call in, and that means the most to me, so I appreciate it.
Dedication to the cause.
Yeah. What was the question?
I was about to say, what did he ask?
I think that the music episode, the one with Jinx Monsoon, that's apparently called The Devil's Chord. I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
It is.
It is confirmed. Oh, well, excellent.
I think it is, yeah.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
I think so too. I'm very intrigued.
Love the shot of Ruby being like held up in the air by musical staves. Like, I'm fascinated by that. That just looks really cool.
It's very Doctor Strange.
Are we all in agreement that like Jinx Monsoon is like one of the Toymakers' legions? Because I think it makes too much sense. You've got a toy man.
Yes.
Now you've got the music woman. I think that makes tons of sense, right?
The toy maker, the music maker.
It makes sense, right?
Speaking of the trailer, you hear Kate Stewart say, I'm like, things are getting more supernatural or whatever.
Yes.
And then Sam and Dean Winchester
show up. It was my favourite part of the trailer.
Oh, well, there you go. But I think that Russell has said that things, because of the toy maker, are going to get kind of more supernaturally. Yeah. And I'm kind of here for it.
Well, there was a cut line from season one, there was a cut line from Church that was, you know how they released the script libraries on the BBC website for the scripts?
Oh, right, yeah.
There was a cut line from Church where the Doctor directly says, hey, Ruby, do you remember the giggle? Well, that set off a chain of events that led to things getting more weird, you know, including these goblins. That's not an exact line. You could probably find it if you go online. That's the
He said, hey, Ruby, do you remember 2023's The Giggle on Disney Plus?
Did you watch 2023's 60th anniversary special number 3, The Giggle?
Starring David Tennant, Catherine Tate, and Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah,
and me.
And I was there. No, yeah, but that was the gist anyway. So I love this idea that he has of, like, basically the Toymaker allowing these more supernatural entities to kind of come in and cause havoc. I think it's a really, like, unique hook. And I see a lot of concerns about this being too similar to, like, the first era. For me, as in the first Russell era, for me, I think the idea of, like, mythical gods and creatures kind of firmly puts it as its own thing. Because when you look back at, like, RTD1, it's relatively, I say relatively grounded. It's not grounded, because Cassandra's in the second episode. But I also mean, as Donna says in The Giggle, you can kind of get your head around most of the ideas. You know, they sort of make sense in a vague scientific way, right? Like, again, using the Cassandra example, she's like a human who's been used, like, plastic surgery and all this to alter herself to a point where she looks like a trampoline. That you can understand how that happened, right? Mm. With something like the Toymaker, bro just exists. And there ain't no reason, there ain't a rule to how he exists. He's just there. And
I think that's the Not-Things as well.
I rewatched Wild Beyonder last night. Man, it's still so good.
It slaps.
It's still incredible.
It slaps and a half.
It really does. But I really like the cosmic stuff. And I think I'm really looking forward to seeing Jinx. I'm wondering, I saw a theory actually that I thought was quite interesting that I was going to put to you. So you know that bit when a guy looks like he's trapped in the drum? In the trailer, he looks like he's clawing his way out of, like, a drum kit. I saw someone put a theory that the Jinx Monsoon is going to trap the Beatles inside their instruments, and I actually really like that idea.
Whoa.
I actually think that's really cool. That's like a theory I saw, and I think that's sick. So I don't know who said it first, but shout outs to you, because I think that's a cool idea.
Damn. Yeah. So wait, is Jinx Monsoon in the Beatles episode?
I think so, right? Because it's all 60s, yeah.
Is that
it's
episode
all 60s
two?
Music, Abbey Road, Beatles, it all
Yeah,
it
that's
all
episode
ties
two,
up.
Yeah.
So we're
which
going
is even
to
more interesting.
Wow. So we're going to get that opening night.
Yeah, which is even weirder considering, like, the London Apocalypse stuff. Like, that's quite a big bombshell for episode
literally.
Two. I'm assuming that, literally. I'm assuming that's like a sort of thing of, like, hey, Ruby, if the Beatles don't exist, this is what's going to happen.
It's just the plot of yesterday.
Oh, right. I was baffled what you meant by that. I was like, is there a plot device I missed? No, because there is that shot of them in the middle of, like...
Yeah. Which, to be honest, doesn't look much worse than London now, to be really honest with you. You go to London, London's rough, man.
I
got stuck there one time.
Anyway,
I have bad memories of London, Troy, okay? I've got trauma, I've got things.
Why do you say it's like I'm going to fight you? I'm not. London's overwhelming,
London,
man.
But as soon as I got there, I tried to find a public toilet. I couldn't find any public toilet. Yeah.
The better way is to look for spoons and then go in a toilet and a spoons, and then you'll be sorted then.
Everyone's talking about spoons. Everyone's talking about spoons. I had no idea what a spoons was until I got over there.
Disgraceful.
Did you go to Greg's? Moses.
Yes, I went to Greg's. What was the department store that we went to, Troy, that one time? With your mum and Meg in Liverpool? We went to a shop and we got the soup. I'm coming to soup. What was that store that we
Tesco.
Went into? Oh, Tesco.
I went to Big Tesco.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be like some sort of obscure like British supermarket.
I thought he was going to say Primark or something else.
I went to Primark in London. Anyway, it's a fun little trip down memory lane for me.
It is.
But
Sari said London, he was excited for Jinx. Well, I'm excited to hear Jane, so why don't we get Jane's message in?
Oh, Jane. Jane.
I tried to find alliteration. So,
all right, hello, nice. Jane. Like welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing?
Hello, boys. How are we doing?
Good.
How are we feeling?
Good.
About the doctor telling Ruby's mom that he'll keep her safe. Has the man learned nothing?
Is he stupid?
I was thinking my first thought was like, so Moffat's getting an episode. Is he just going to use his opportunity to like kill Ruby off because of the foreshadowing? I'm kidding, but am I? Anyway, I don't know if you heard that. That was my cat. Anyway, bye-bye.
For a second, I thought that's how that was going to end, because there was like a second or two delay, and I thought it was going to be, is Moffat going to kill Ruby off? Silence. No elaboration.
Crickets.
Wow.
Do we know what episode number he's writing? I thought I'd heard three.
A lot of people think it is three, but it's not confirmed yet.
No.
Some people are kind of adamant that Moffat might be writing the opener. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it at all,
but the director is assigned for episode 1 and 3, whatever that is, Moffat's or
Julianne
something like
Robinson,
that.
We know is yeah. episode. We know is doing Moffat's episode, right? Because they say that in the little announcement.
Yeah. And I think they're directing the opener as well. I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, you could still have a different, like, you know, writer and director.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just.
Don't mean you. I just mean the people saying that, like, it's the same.
By the way, I realised, just for the odd couple of listeners who might not have seen the news, Stephen Moffat has actually been officially announced he is writing an episode, and it's not in Shusie's second season, it's in his first season. So, in case you haven't heard that news, again, we will talk about it next week, but that's just making sure that you're aware, because there may be
people who
didn't
quickly,
know about
on that topic, I know you're saying I'm coming back to it next week, but while I'm here, might as well ask.
No, don't care. Shut up. Crispy, who's next?
Okay.
No.
I was just going to say, like, do you think he'll also write one for the year after? Because the fact that they've announced him, I think the fact that they've announced him for this one just kind of legitimizes every report that he's also doing 2025, right? Like,
I would personally say we may get a repeat of RTD1 where Stephen Moffat's given one story every year, and I would not be opposed to that.
I'm happy to put money on that he's also doing Christmas this year. I'm happy
because
to put
that
money
was,
on that.
That was the rumour that came out a few days before he was announced, was that he was writing the second or the third, I suppose, Christmas special.
I probably would prefer he did the normal episodes. No shade against Stephen Moffat's Christmas episode. I actually, you know, Christmas Carol's my favourite one of the Christmas specials.
Well, he's wrote one of the best and one of the worst, so, you know, it's take it or leave it.
But it's like, if I want a Moffat back, I want him to have free reign. You know what I'm saying? I don't want him to be confined to Christmassy
or an ideas.
Opener. Or anything like that. I want him to have his slot where he could just run wild in his head and do mad stuff.
Well, I don't want him running wild in his head. That could be dangerous. That's too much.
Could be
in
a lot of innuendos coming up in episodes if that turns out to be the case.
Don't look at my browser history.
Oh, no.
But I'm pretty sure there's been, seven Christmases since Moffat was in town, right? Or something like that. Since Moffat was writing.
2017 was last Christmas special. So
yeah. So, because of that, I feel like Moffat, in his day-to-day life, he looks at things and goes, that would make a great Doctor Who villain. So I can guarantee you, on one of those Christmases, he would have looked at something. Maybe it was a Christmas cracker and was like, I'm going to write a whole episode about Christmas crackers.
Or maybe he went in Big Tesco's Lightyear.
Oh, Me and Moff at Big Tesco's.
He saw what the he saw the Christmas stuffing and went, there's a story in that.
There's a story in
that. I wonder.
I'm gonna find a story. I'm gonna find the gosh damn story.
You've heard of Base Under Siege? Now we'll get ready for Base Under Sage and Onion. Anyway, that was terrible.
Wow.
So, to answer Jane's question, well, we kind of already did.
I thought that was
good.
I liked it. Troy.
I really enjoyed
it. Thanks. I was ready to move on because I thought you'd find it terrible. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. But yeah, so Jane said about the family aspect, we kind of covered that already with the mom and the keep my daughter safe.
I'm all for it, and but Ruby, yeah. So there's going to be some tragic fate for Ruby. Something bad is going to happen.
And also,
maybe not death, but we'll see.
On that as well, with, you know, that one shot where it's the two of them together, and then it flashes back to the church, and Shiki stood on his own. That's a great edit, by the way. That's a really cool edit.
Oh,
just
it's so good.
But do you think, like, that's hinting that maybe the idea of maybe the doctor's gonna feel guilt over not telling Ruby about the mum, because obviously there's that bit in church, isn't there, where he like
the mum? Oh yeah.
He almost goes and says what happened, but
he doesn't.
He does. Do you think he does?
I think it's one of those narrative devices where we don't see the full scene, and you're led to believe a different way. Like the most recent one I can remember is Wakanda Forever. The shoot scene between, have you seen Wakanda Forever, Tharys?
I haven't yet. You know, I'm behind. I'm afraid
to say it. Sorry, slight spoilers, but the conversation between Shuri and Killmonger, you don't see all of it, and then later on it snaps back to it, and you see more,
right.
And it recontextualizes things.
It gives
you
more
like,
context.
Oh. I think that's going to have happened. I think they're going to have done a jump cut, and actually goes back to Tharys after having the conversation, because in the trailer, the mum does turn around and point, so she's involved somehow.
Do we think that's the mum for definite? The hooded figure?
Yes.
That's fair enough.
No, it's not. It's Jodie Whittaker, and we all know that to be true. Jodie Whittaker is Ruby Sunday.
She's
going to
smash a mixing bowl on
the
episode.
The thing I love about Doctor Who fans is whenever they look at a new piece of content, they like have to find a way to like find an old character.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how outlandish it is.
It's part of the job description.
There's so many fun ones. Like,
what do you say about Jonathan Groff? Everyone kept going, oh, that's the new Captain Jack. That's the new Captain Jack.
It's not. Yeah, I feel like just let Jack retire, man. You know,
if you're not bringing John Barrowman back, don't bring Jack back.
I also think, can you imagine John Barrowman's Twitter feed if Captain Jack came back and it wasn't him? I don't know whether Marvel Studios wants that.
It'd be the same energy as that one video uploaded we went to see Old in cinema and said he didn't like it, so he demanded the cinema refund him, which was definitely a choice he made.
Yeah.
I mean, good
yeah.
grief.
And that one video of him at the convention where he's like, they all love me!
They love me! Oh, God, I hated that.
He does a Joker-esque cackle. I was like, John, are you okay, buddy?
It was just like a psychotic version of Toby in Spider-Man 3 being like, they love me. It's like, no, you're too self-aware of it now. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was a tangent I wasn't expecting to have for this podcast.
It was resting on our shoulders, you could say. So, Crispy, we have a couple of callers left. Should we do both of them? There's two left.
Yeah, let's go. There we go.
Let's go. Speed run. Jeremy Duncan.
Yeah, Crispy. Wow, look at that budget. I mean, they got David Bowie for a trailer. Wow. Mm. I thought he was dead. Anyway, incredible. One thing I thought, superstitions are coming to life because the Doctor invoked them at the edge of the universe in Wobbly Yonder. Maybe one of those superstitions is the butterfly effect. Maybe that's why it affects Ruby. Maybe because these superstitions and that kind of thing are able to happen, it is ripping apart the vortex, because Russell said something about the vortex changing every episode and it's important to the plot. Anyway, y'all have a great day.
I think bro just predicted the plot of series 14, bro.
I
hadn't
heard anything about the vortex, but yeah, that all adds up.
He did say, like, with the title sequence, the vortex is going to get more and more, like, unstable or something. And you even see a bit of it in, like...
Ooh.
The series 14 trailer, there's a shot of the vortex we've not seen where it does seem to be getting a little bit more wobbly. So
good job calling it series 14. Appreciate you for that.
I alternate between the two. I do think on that though, I think it's the right call in the sense of, hear me out on this. With that new trailer, right, going on Disney+, I don't think it would have gotten as many views as it did if it was labelled series 14. Because I think
I agree completely.
looking at Disney Plus would go, I ain't starting on the 14 series. Where's the other 13 of them? Like,
this is another thing like the release times where it's like, it's a bit awkward, but it makes sense. And yeah, I back the logic behind it.
But no, on that, I think that's a sick idea. Like, the idea... Because, like, we've never really had the butterfly effect as a thing.
No.
In Doctor Who, they've kind of...
It was
of
mentioned
just,
in Thin Ice.
It was, and it was mentioned in Shakespeare Code as well.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are good. And, wow. I mean,
Crispy doesn't watch Doctor Who. Me and Tharys, that's all we do. We sit in our bedrooms and watch Doctor Who.
I've never seen the show. Troy just calls me up and I read the Wikipedia before we get on. Never seen a frame of it.
Do you know when you did your first... I watched classic Doctor Who video.
Yes.
Did you get anyone in the comments be like, oh my god, you're a fake fan, I can't believe you've never seen classic Doctor Who before?
I did like another one again, and every second comment is, wow, you're a fake fan. And I'm like, this is me trying to get into
it. Don't throw them at me then, gee whiz.
Classic Who fans are vicious, man. They'll be like, you don't remember this one thing from this one episode 40 years ago?
Look. A lot of the comments are like, oh, it's so nice to seeing a younger fan getting into the show again. But a lot of them are like, wow, how can you call yourself a Doctor Who fan for the past? I feel like it's kind of rude. You can be a fan of something and not have, you know, have seen their entire
encyclopedic
thing.
Knowledge
there are,
of all
there
of
are,
it.
There are like artists I listen to, and I haven't listened to every single one of their EPs before. That doesn't make me not a fan of their music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Let's just live.
Bro's preaching right now. Bro's cooking.
That's really well said. The Weeknd's one of my faves, and I've barely listened to his first few albums because it's just not me. I don't like them as much. So.
Yeah, exactly. Times change, and so must I. But with Jeremy's butterfly theory, he has absolutely nailed it on the head. Yeah, I think the whole superstition thing will be a big part. And I didn't even think about the fact that that's a superstition. Mm. But it is. It is.
True.
And
maybe someone will walk under a ladder and then die.
But you never know.
Maybe a tree will fall in the forest, but then it'll like disappear. So the tree
won't make
really
any noise.
If a tree falls and it was to make a noise, does it really fall? And the tree falls, doesn't make a noise, and then it evaporates from existence.
I just love the idea of the tree just like cross dissolving.
Yeah.
Just get a Star Wars fade white.
Yeah. Russell, get me into the series too, Russell. I'll write the episode.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, very good. All right. One
the
more.
Tree
one more. We're running it tight, but I think we can fit one more. And what have we got? Sam.
Let's do it. Hello, Sam. How are you today? Sam? Oh, no.
Oh, it's got stuck. Refresh the page, Crispy. Tharys, have you got a joke for us while Crispy refreshes the page?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Oh, you said the thing!
Hey! Play
very
the call!
Good. Okay, hello, Sam.
So, Lizard Ruby, is she a Silurian? Is this a hint at some kind of original Silurian story where they never... fell, the human race never rose, and the lizards continue to rule the earth? Is Ruby even intended to be a Silurian? Is this just going to be some sort of one-off butterfly effect gag and not a whole episode? I do not know what to make of that one. What are your thoughts?
I think you got it right the second time. I think it's a cutaway gag. I think...
I'm pretty sure they said one garb, aren't they? So, like, that's got to be a throwaway thing.
I think they might explain it with what Jeremy was saying about there being, like, you know, the butterfly effects of superstitions, and that's why that kind of exists now. But, like, I don't think it'll go much deeper than, oh, this is the thing, weird things happened, kind of deal. I'm expecting, like, a Family Guy-esque... Hey, Lois, he stood
hey,
on
Ruby,
a spider.
Surprised me that one time when heart music.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of what I'm envisioning. I don't know whether. I mean, it's cool the idea that she could be like a Silurian. I don't think they'll go into that though. I could be wrong. But...
Yeah. Well, look, the gag works in the trailer, and yeah, it might just be a throwaway gag. But I would really genuinely enjoy if they did spend the whole kind of episode on everything that went wrong because Ruby stepped on that butterfly, and then at the end, do some kind of Father's Day thing where she has to push herself out of the way, or I don't know, do something
for a butterfly.
Well, I think that's what they say about time travel. You know,
I don't think they got the budget for that, big man. I'll be honest with you.
I think they got all the budget now. They got money now.
They can do butterflies.
But I did think that the CGI on her face, like, again, I think it's down to not being used to the new look of it. But like, anyone else think Snapchat filter the first time they saw it, or is that just me?
I didn't. I think it's prosthetic.
I think it looked good, but like, it was. I think it was because it was so out of place in Doctor Who, like the way that it looked. I was like, not bad. Just immediately gave me Snapchat. But actually, to be fair, I think that's probably down to the fact that the trailer was washed out, and that's why it didn't look good.
Oh yeah, we haven't spoken about this yet, actually.
Yeah, because that was the last thing I wanted to mention. So if you don't know, it's been talked about online that the trailer that was put up online on Disney Plus's channel, and I think also Doctor Who's, is a 4K version that was basically scaled out of being HDR, which is like a different version. If you don't know the tech aspects, it's the colours pop more, that kind of thing. And if you try and convert it or put it down to standard without doing it the right way, the colour gets all washed out and looks faded and grey. And that's why a lot of the shots in the trailer look funny, because they've done that. They've put the wrong version. They didn't put a standard version. They had like a DHDR'd version. So it looks all washed out. The point being, if you watch it on Disney Plus natively, the colours far like pop way more, everything's brighter and cooler.
It looks so maybe good over CGI here, guys. I don't think this looks bad. I just think it looks out of place.
You get the better release time, and now you get the better trailer.
Well, with Fairies VPN, you can watch the trailer on Disney Plus and see for yourself.
So please use the code WHOTHERE10 at checkout for 10% off your Fairies VPN.
This is not a gag
I was expecting, but I'm fully embracing it. I'm launching a VPN.
I want that to be your next video. When this episode goes up Tuesday morning, I want a video Tuesday night announcing Thari's VPN.
I will do just that, just for you, Troy.
Good man.
Thari's, we thank you very much for being on here today. But before we let you go, just give us your general overall thoughts on that trailer and how you're feeling as we head into Doctor Who's very first episode of all times.
The first episode ever of season one of Doctor Who, the brand new show that never existed. I'm feeling really good. Like, obviously, I think with all, like, Doctor Who, you get a bit of, like, a dead zone around when, like, you know, episodes aired and then you're waiting for the series, right? And I was definitely in kind of that slump for a little bit. Not in, like, a, oh, I hate Doctor Who kind of way, but just in, like, a not feeling much towards it because not much is happening yet, you know? There was kind of a spell where, and I'm sure you guys doing a weekly podcast can attest, where you're like, what's the news this week? There isn't really.
I've said that so many times.
How I felt about Payday 3 for the last 6 months. Anyway, you were saying?
I think, obviously, you wait for certain, you know, one thing to come along, and then it all just comes along at once. Like, you had Moffat, you had the release schedule and the premiere and all that sort of stuff, and then you had obviously the trailer. And yeah, I think the midnight air thing did kind of knock me for six, but then the trailer came along and absolutely like crushed it. I do agree with, I don't remember who said it, but someone said here it's like one of the best Doctor Who trailers. I actually went back and looked at a bunch of the Doctor Who trailers the other night, and whilst there probably are some I prefer, I do still really like, you know, the one series 5-1 where Smith and it's Amy and Eleven, and they're laying on the grass
in the
and
vortex.
They're like pointing at the stars, and then the vortex.
The only one I think I've ever seen in the cinema, yeah.
I still think that's like peak Doctor Who trailer for me personally, but I would say this is not too far behind. It definitely did its job of hyping me up. It felt fresh to me as well, because again, as I was sort of saying, I think there was some concern that it could be too similar to the last era. This feels like its own thing to me. This doesn't feel like RTD1 or Moffat or Chibnall. It feels like Doctor Who, but it's not Doctor Who that we've seen, which is a good thing, which is what you want. You want it to feel different. Yeah, I felt really good about it, and it's made me look forward to it. I don't know whether you guys saw that. Yeah, Russell suggested there was going to be more trailers and stuff like that. He said on Instagram.
Good stuff.
So got that to look forward to, and I think it's already mad like how well the trailer's doing as well. Like, the Disney Plus trailer is over 3 million views on YouTube and
mental.
I think 10 million on TikTok.
So it's doing mad. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was looking at it today.
Our little show's flourishing.
It's still got 500,000 on Doctor Who's official channel, which can certainly put it up after Disney Plus. It's still good. And I think it's currently number 18 on trending. We're recording this on Sunday night.
It's overtaken,
so 2 days later, it's still trending.
It overtook The Penguin trailer, which also came out the same time.
And it's better anyway. The Penguin will be great, but that trailer was a bit mid anyway, that, in my opinion.
I kind of agree with you, actually. But I was going to say as well, like, another interesting little fact. Sorry, because I'm just obsessed with numbers, okay? I find this stuff really interesting. But yeah, like, the Eras Tour trailer on the same Disney Plus YouTube channel is on 3.6 million. Doctor Who's currently on 3.1 million after 2 days. So there is a genuine prospect that Doctor Who could overtake a Taylor Swift trailer, which is kind of mad to think
about. That's this week's clip. That's this week's clip.
Karma, baby.
Wow. I can't
believe it. That's kind of mad to think about, isn't it?
Doctor Who versus Taylor Swift? Who's going to win?
Never thought I'd see the day.
I never thought I would see the day.
Doctor Who is one of the things that could have an Eras Tour, in fairness.
My gosh, I would go to the Doctor Who Eras Tour.
There's got to be... Someone on Redbubble's got to have made an Eras Tour t-shirt of Doctors. If they haven't done that, they're missing out.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
If they haven't, I'm now claiming royalties. If you do that on Redbubble, I want to cut. Okay?
You should do it. You should do it, Troy, and you should become a millionaire.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. I might do that.
Do it.
All right. That's Troy's latest assignment, and you can see it on Who's There? Dot shop.
You can do it whilst I'm in business school, launching Darius VPN.
Oh my gosh, so many good ideas today, so many good business ventures. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that all sounds very, 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 very exciting. And Tharys, we love having you on. We appreciate you as
a human being.
And what's your favorite day of the week? Is my last question for you.
That's a good question. I like a Thursday.
Thursdays are great. Troy, yours?
You know, it's...
Just because they start with the same letters as Tharys. Oh, predictable.
It also starts as the same letter as Troy.
Yeah, but you could say Tuesday for me, and it's still line up, you know?
Yeah.
What day of the week do I get?
Crispy one, yeah? I don't know. What's your crispy?
Actually, in Britain, we say Tuesday like chew, like as in CH. So
Tuesday.
Kind of.
Tuesday.
There you go.
I don't know what I get, though. I have no idea. Nothing works with Troy or... But based on you both taking the teas, it's nothing for Troy.
Oh, yeah.
National
Tuberculosis Day. I don't know
that's
if that's
good.
A thing.
Yeah, Troy's Tuberculosis Day.
Yay. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yay for Troy.
Is that a thing? I'm going to look that up.
Tuberculosis.
Crispy
gets a British joke, and I get tuberculosis.
I mean,
hell of a thing to take out of context.
You drew the short straw. Yeah, there is. There's a World Tuberculosis
Day.
What
day is it?
Oh my God! Not even kidding. It's Sunday, the 24th of March, 2024. I'm not even making that up. The day we record
No, I'm looking this up. You're lying.
You're lying. Look it up. I'm not kidding.
What?
Look it up
you're
right
lying
now.
To me. Is it today?
It's today. Troy, it was written.
Thank you all for listening to episode 101 of Who's There, Doctor Who podcast. I'm going to go and seek an appointment with my doctor now, my local GP. So thank you all. I'll see you all next Sunday where we go live and talk about all the news from March. There's not been much, but at least Tharys will be here to bore you. So it's goodbye from Tharys.
Bye.
Goodbye from Crispy.
I hope you're all right, Troy.
And goodbye from me. See you all later. I'm going. Goodbye.
Bye.